Alrighty, well, it's welcome. We have 49 people on board today. I'd like to welcome everyone to this summer campus conversation. Thank you all for carving out some time today. As far as from the HR side, I'd just like to remind everybody that this week is the last week of furlough. It's the last week that we will claim unemployment. So for those of us who claim Monday would be the go-to day, go online and register that we'll be getting that last week of unemployment. So if there's any residual issues or questions, just send me an email or give me a call. Appreciate everybody's patience through this, but we got through it. So other than that, the Kangas Cafe is open for business here at the Joodla. We've got the building open between 9 and 3 p.m. They're open for business. It's been light, but the food is back up to par. Tuesdays and Thursdays are pasty days, so if you're in the neighborhood, stop by and pick up some pasties today. That's all I have. Philip, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Special welcome to any Board of Trustees members that are with us. I thought I saw Jeannie earlier, and I don't know if there are others, but welcome. Good to have you with us. What I'd like to do is begin by I sent out a memo to the employee listserv regarding changes related to the salary reduction plan. And if you haven't seen that yet, I invite you to check your inbox. Let me let's see. Hey, can you make me host, Karen? And then I can share that memo. So I want to review that with everybody and make sure that it's clear. And then I'll ask Anthony to give us his update on enrollment. And we will go to Aaron, who will give us an update on our fall 2020 open safe plan and preparedness. And then we will go into some other updates as is helpful. And then just spend some time with questions and comments. So let me see if I can, looks like I can do it. So here's the memo that went out and should be in your inbox. If you do not have this, then just let me know and we'll make sure that Karen, maybe Karen or my office sends it out. So the change is with number 2 in the list, but you can read this. I will read it and because it's brief. Yesterday, the Finlandia Board of Trustees voted unanimously to accept a proposal or a proposed change by the management team to adjust the compensation reduction configuration approved earlier. Salaries reduced 5% are now 35,568 up to 45,000. The previous 5% pay reduction band was 35,568 to 40,000. This change takes into consideration helpful feedback by faculty and staff following last week's campus conversation. So what you see is that there should not be, unless I made a mistake, there should not be, the only change that you would see here is with number 2. So the 5% reduction for employees earning above 35,568 up to 45,000. Previously that read 40,000. So that is the change and want to make sure that that's clear. Are there any questions that anybody has?
I
just to thank you for considering feedback and going back to the drawing board. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. If so this would be less savings than the previous plan. If this is affordable now, then why wasn't it this way from the beginning?
Jason, this was really trying to address a particular request from faculty and staff. And so it just appeared like some wise counsel. So it's not that it wasn't affordable before, it's just simply a reconfiguration that accommodates feedback.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome. Any others? We'll take time. Well, we can come back as well. So everybody should have this, and if you want to take a little bit more time with it, make sure that we can circle back at any point, okay? Anthony, if you would provide helpful updates related to new student recruitment and enrollment.
Yeah, sure can. I'll keep it relatively simple for the conversation, but then what I'll do for the next few weeks is I'll kind of give a debrief and a summary during the campus conversation verbally, and then I'll send this document out to the employee listserv so that you can see some more detail in here, and then, of course, inquire with me for any specific inquiries that you might have or suggestions, comments, you know, after the fact. So I'll send those out for the next few weeks right after the campus conversation on Thursday afternoons. Today we are at 155 deposits and enrolls for new students. That's compared to the 242 target. So that includes a 6-student gain from our last conversation last week. And now with that 155, we anticipate 69 more new incoming students from here until drop add. That 155 current plus 69 anticipated, again, gets us the same total new projection from last week, 224. The 224 combined with Aaron's anticipated 225 returning students gets us to 449 FTE for fall. Again, as we discussed last week, as it was brought up, the enrollment that aligns with the 20% budget reduction is 386. So compared to the budget reduction amount, we do have some wiggle room, but we're obviously shooting as high as we possibly can to get as many students in as possible. I'll just take another minute too to just thank everybody involved in the process. I know as we move into our final month, the enrollment officers and coordinator from admissions are working quickly and personally really with the entire student funnel to make sure we solidify their decisions. Coaches are working to develop the relationships with the student athletes and get them excited about being here in the fall and part of their programs. Financial aid continues to pump out awards every single day, on top of working with current students and adjusting aid too as they go. And several other partners, you know, from faculty members to TRIO student support services, they're all participating in the virtual and on-campus visits. I think everybody's really providing their perspective about what the student experience is like at Finlandia and how we're excited about it, even in the face of an international pandemic. So the teamwork's been very great to see, and I'm sure it'll be continue to be impressive, you know, into this next month. So just a little shout out and a thank you to everybody that's been involved with that. It's much appreciated as we continue to get these final students in.
That's me, PJ. That's me. I just thought it'd be helpful. If people want to look at it later, they made some changes to the insurance laws in Michigan, but I didn't want to interrupt the meeting. I just wanted to put it there for the people to see.
Okay, thanks. We'll probably pick it up later on, but thanks for getting that in there, Bill.
I have a question for Anthony, if that's okay.
It is.
Anthony, I've heard that Lori Anderson's been by to give you some advice on recruiting. Is anything fruitful come from those meetings?
Yes, I have a standing offer to go for Turkish coffee at Lori's house. So that's yet to take place. But I think a lot of Lori's ideas are thankfully aligned with some strategies we're already putting in place. But definitely had an interesting conversation, made sure to give him a shirt as he left. But I understand he's already been back. I think I missed him yesterday. He came while I was out for lunch.
That's so, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. he's been around. So, nice guy. It was good to talk to him.
Any other questions for him? For Anthony, I'm sorry, Anthony, that your truncated orientation, given the circumstances around your arrival, did not include a visit with Lori early on. So I'm glad that it has come your way.
Yeah, perfect timing. No, that's great. Thanks.
Anthony, I do have a question. As you move into this last month's push, is there anything any of us in the campus community can do to help?
Yeah, I think that when it comes down to it, really the visits are going to be extremely important. So I think that that's something that you're already doing, that everybody involved has been really helpful for. I don't know if we'll see an uptick in the on-campus versus the virtual, or if we'll continue to see the virtual. We do have just kind of a smattering of campus visits that have been on campus, but I've been keeping those that I know are on campus informed of when those are taking place outside of ones that are invited. So I would just encourage anybody interacting, obviously, with students in person on campus, again, as it was reiterated a few weeks ago, just make sure that you're masking up and that you're showing we're doing everything that we can to prepare Finlandia to be safe for fall. But no, it's much appreciated. And there's been several ideas coming my way too of possible strategies to position ourselves for additional students for fall. So if anybody has those, please send them my way, and we'll be talking about those in the coming weeks too.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
One of the things, if I can piggyback, Anthony, your earlier comments, anybody in the room that has an opportunity to extend a positive point of contact with any student we know that is returning or is new, let's do that. I'm thinking especially of those returning. For faculty, staff, you know, if you've had those contacts over the summer for any reason, any kind of touch at this point is so helpful to all of us. So. I'll be doing my part, and I invite all of us to do our part in terms of positive points of contact, because the more if we can accumulate those for any given student, it just helps. So thanks for the question, Denise. Really appreciate that. Any other questions for Anthony or comments? Observations.
This is Rich. Can we get email addresses of prospects so we can make direct contact with them? I asked for them earlier in the semester, and I have not gotten any.
Yeah, let me revisit that, Dr. Gee. Thank you for that.
I just want to put something out there. I didn't know. I know the SAFE reentry team is working very hard. Have we considered possibly doing like an open parent forum on a Zoom format so parents could ask questions if they would like more information about our safe return?
Excellent idea, Pam. And I think that has been under consideration. Erin, can you speak to that?
Yeah, that's something Olivia and I spoke about, and we're going to reconnect next week. Last summer, Leanne and I did a Facebook Live about living in the residence hall, and then it, you know, records, and then it's on Facebook forever, I guess. So I was thinking something like that. But, you know, I welcome any ideas you have of ways to reach our parents. I don't know, Anthony, if we're collecting parent email addresses yet. We weren't previously, so it's challenging because we have to go through a lot of time, 18-year-olds, to get in front of the parents. So. Any ideas you have to help us communicate better with them, I'm totally open to that.
Yep, and that piece will be included in the next recruiting cycle on all of our forms, not only a requirement for phone numbers, which is another issue that we were dealing with where we sometimes don't have phone numbers. Those will all be required, and then the parent information will be strongly recommended. Of course. course for incoming recent high school grads, not so much obviously transfers, but that option will be on there too. So we'll have hopefully a lot more information than we have because we have very little parent information for our incoming freshmen.
Other questions or suggestions, comments? Well, keep Anthony busy with whatever ideas you might have that you believe could be helpful for him and for all of us. Erin would like to ask that you provide updates related to preparedness and top of mind priorities for this week and the coming week, whatever it is that you can have that helps all of us gain some sense of where we are and where we're going.
Yeah, so the focus this week and then next week as well, and actually the week before, was ordering supplies. Making sure we have everything we need to open safely this fall. So 1 gallon pump dispensers of hand sanitizer and one-time use wipe rolls for each classroom and plexiglass to put barriers between computers. We ordered and received 200 wireless keyboards and mouse set up. So we're going to be taking away in the public computer spaces those devices, and then students will have their own so that we're not constantly wiping those down after every use. So we'll be giving those out to students this fall. We're ordering branded backpacks to put the healthcare kits in that also fit the laptops and mouse. So just all those pieces that need to come together. Our dining services team came back early to help us get all this underway because right now obviously they're not serving food. So they're helping us prepare campus for this fall. Next week, we'll be working with marketing to make sure that we have branded signage all over campus, including, you know, one-way hallways and doors and those types of recommendations, just to limit as much interaction as possible. You'll notice if you go into any restroom on campus, some of the stalls are now considered closed so that we are not using every bathroom stall and spacing things out. So a lot of that type of work is underway in terms of physical distancing. And then on the other side, we're working with Upper Great Lakes Healthcare and, you know, Freddie and then our team, Marnie and Irina and Mark, to figure out the COVID testing upon arrival and then quarantine and then obviously ongoing quarantine for later on if or when we get a positive case on campus. So figuring out those protocols and policies so that they're all in place for fall will be very important. Brandon and Dr. Gee and I have been working on a community standards type document that outlines the expectations like wearing a mask indoors, and we'll be asking students to sign those just like we usually ask them to sign that they receive the student handbook. So just as many layers that we can put into place so that students are aware of our expectations come fall is really important. So any ideas you have in terms of helping us better communicate this with students, I'm crafting an email right now, just so they know what to expect when they arrive on campus. There's no surprises. So that's where I'm at. Any questions, concerns?
Hi. I do have a question. Thank you for that. That sounds really good. I'm really excited about the branded backpacks for the next one. But I was wondering about, I know there was some talk about counseling services possibly being on campus or maybe telehealth or something like that. And given that a lot of our students have lost family members and the entire stress of the pandemic in general, could you just like kind of, and maybe Freddie would be the one to answer this too, but kind of let us know what exactly is going on with the counseling services that we're going to offer this year?
Yeah, Freddie, do you want to discuss that in relation?
Sure. We are about ready to actually put our John Hancock's on the Memorandum of Understanding / Agreement with Great Lakes Health. They will be providing the services for a pretty broad spectrum of services for our campus community. That includes behavioral health. Behavioral health will be done by telehealth, but we will have the telehealth facilities on campus in the basement of, or the first floor of NICANDER. Okay. Cindy Blake is going to be our nurse practitioner / also faculty. So she'll be the person, basically the contact person down there. And as soon as we have all of the particulars lined at, aligned or outlined, I should say, for how everybody registers, because what we're going to want to do is get all of our students as well as our employees registered in the Upper Great Lakes system. So when you pick up the phone and make an appointment, you don't have to provide your insurance every time you do that. You know, all that stuff will already be built into the system. Right now, because of COVID, it will all be by appointment only, okay? But the number will go straight to Upper Great Lakes. They'll set up the appointment. It pops up. Cindy will be there, or it'll be set up with telehealth, but it'll all be basically on campus, unless, of course, it requires something more complicated. For example, we're not going to have x-rays on campus. We're not going to have certain labs on campus. And if it seems as if it's out of the realm of a health clinic, so to speak, they'll be referred off campus. But for the most part, we're going to try to do everything we can on campus. And it also includes dental and vision. I'm not quite sure how they do that exactly, but all of that is part of the Upper Great Lakes services. So acute care, vision and health prevention and referrals, I think, is the way it's actually laid out. And then with behavioral health and wellness. So we're getting really excited about this. We're meeting every Thursday at 4 o'clock, so it's always funny. I talk today, and then in 2 hours, something may change. But right now, we've been focused. A lot of our time has been focused on the testing. But the behavioral health is part of this package, and I am very excited that it's coming online.
That's awesome. Thank you. That sounds great.
Right, can I add something?
Sure.
When we say that we aren't taking walk-ins, it still means that we are still offering same-day services.
There you go. Thank you.
It's just that the appointment needs to be made. No one else is there, and the person needs to be seen. It'll either be done telemedicine, or I'll see them however Upper Great Lakes wants to do that. But it's not that the person can't be seen that day.
Right. And one of the things that we're looking at doing is putting a doorbell up at the door so that if a student wants to walk in, they just ring the doorbell and potentially just get set up immediate service. But it's got to be, you know, basically announced. And it's there to mitigate any potential exposure risks for everybody involved. This is the way they're working it at the clinics and the doctor's offices as well. And Cindy and I just talked today about, could we also put a phone there? So in case they need to set up an appointment, we assume everybody's got cell phones, but you know, for that one person who doesn't have the battery charged or doesn't have the phone on them or doesn't have a phone, it'd be kind of nice to have that opportunity right there as well. We're going to make sure that there is same day, even potentially same time service, depending upon, you know, they just can't walk in the door unannounced. I guess
this is Cindy Cowell. Can I ask about, does a student need insurance? How does the cost of the care get taken care of? And then you speak of the behavioral health. Does that mean we will not use North Star any longer and we will use this behavioral health service? And then the TRIO students have Zoe, who is a licensed Michigan personal counselor, so that's awesome. But if it's a non-TRIO student, you know, behavioral health we know is huge. Mm-hmm. Students really need a lot of services, and even more so now during this time. And then again, paying for that. How does, if a student has no resources or no insurance, are they still able to access all of the services that you just outlined?
Yes, that's why we need to get the students pre-registered so that they can get their insurance information in there. If they are uninsured, the pricing is tiered, okay? So it's aligned with income. And then they'll bill certain ways, and if a student is uninsured but yet still has family contact, and it could be that they can refer, you know, they can select in there that they want the bill sent to their family members, or, you know, however we're going to, wherever the bill will be sent.
But they're going to charge the insurance company first for those that have insurance. But they do have a tiered schedule for those who don't have insurance. They're federally funded as a rural health clinic, so they have opportunities to help bring costs down.
Is it potential that those costs are brought down to zero? So I'm just thinking of our neediest students who are, you know, food scarce and don't have textbooks and trying to have aunts and uncles and grandmas put together money to buy them a bus ticket to go home at Thanksgiving. So that student, in my mind, does the cost here cover that type of student?
Right. I don't have all of the answers to those questions right now, but those questions are under discussion.
Perfect. Thank you.
One of the thoughts that we have discussed over the last several weeks, Cindy, related to the question is, can advancement, in other words, the work that Karen and I do, can we, as in our efforts, match donor affinity with this particular need? And so we are thinking about identifying particular donors that that's not an answer to your question in full, obviously, but I think it's a way for us to consider building a fund, as it were. And I believe that we can be successful with that. Now, I can't tell you exactly how much we can build in that fund for September, but that's one of our ways of addressing your particular need. And then with your help, to determine how we prioritize the students that receive that kind of assistance. So thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Erin, I had a question. First of all, thank you for all the work that you guys are doing. How does the social distancing work with athletics and practice?
So that would actually be a question for Curtis. Is Curtis on? Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, I'm on. Obviously, we're still working on protocols and stuff as far as that goes, but we're going to be following a lot of the NCAA recommendations and so forth, which is going to be a phase plan. But eventually, you know, after I think phase two, you're basically into normal practices. The first phase would be kind of like a 2-week kind of small groups, individual type training stuff, and then phase into practices at this point.
Are there other ways that you are planning to keep the teams like insular within themselves after they go through that 2 weeks, or how does that work? Are they going to have a different protocol then?
That's still the stuff that's part of the processes I'm working on right now. The hard part is, I mean, we can insulate, keep them in their small little bubbles within practices, but then once they go back on the campus, then they're no longer in those little bubbles. So I guess, you know, that's going to be the only issue there that I can see.
Denise, I just want to add, in terms of the living experience, we are putting teammates together in suites and then also in the wing of the residence hall together. Typically, you know, the roommates will usually be the same team, but we try to integrate students in the res hall. So not a whole wing would be the football team, for example, or the whole wing would be the baseball team. But this year, that's the opposite. We're putting as many of them that are spending a lot of time together. And then we're also micromanaging their lives in the sense that we are assigning windows of time for meal pickup and also for laundry, so that as much as we can reduce interaction, we're doing that.
Thanks.
Hey, Curtis, could you send those phasing guidelines to us? You mentioned
sure. The
phasing guidelines. Can we take a look at those?
Yeah, I thought I'd forward them to the task force at one time before, but I'll send them again your way.
Other questions for Erin related to I might ask, and we can circle back. Freddie, I didn't necessarily ask you to be thinking about this for today's conversation, but over the last, and maybe Mark Irina and who am I thinking of? Who else is on that wellness task force?
Marnie,
thank you. I know that from my briefings in the mornings and listservs that I am part of in terms of college presidents, there is a lot of new conversation about the evolving usefulness, wisdom in baseline testing and so forth. And so institutions right now all over the place are revisiting earlier conclusions and decisions, and so are we. We need to be thinking right alongside of them. And all of the information just continues to change so rapidly. But I don't know if it's helpful, Freddie, if you could speak to that a little bit about what you're currently thinking in terms of testing, and then the others that I mentioned, if they wanted to also offer some guidance or some convictions there.
Okay. So where we have it last, where we last stand, is that we plan to do baseline testing for all our returning students and employees and faculty prior to the start of the fall semester. However, the CDC is saying that basically they feel that that's not the best practice. So a lot of schools are adopting that method, including a lot of nursing programs across the state, because that's starting to come across my desk as well, is that they're just going to go with symptom, you know, testing for symptoms, so they'll be doing some symptom tracking. We're going to have a conversation with Great Lakes at Upper Great Lakes at 4 today, and that's one of the questions that I would like to really delve into. On the flip side of that, Blue Cross Blue Shield has just also announced that they're no longer going to cover the cost of baseline testing, so that's going to be another factor that we need to take into consideration. Don Simula at Upper Great Lakes ran kind of some preliminary numbers for us, and it's going to be astronomically expensive to do to pay for the testing. Basically, I think he estimated upwards to about $56,000 for 500 tests. And if we're going to be testing all of our students, faculty, and staff, we're looking at that, if not higher.
That's baseline testing, Freddie.
That's baseline testing.
Yeah.
Symptomatic testing or diagnostic testing is still covered by health insurance. It's the baseline, just because we want to know testing, that the insurance is pushing back on. And right now it's only Blue Cross Blue Shield, but I, you know, the healthcare sentiment is that as one goes, so do others. So we've got to keep our eye on that. That's going to be part of the conversation. We don't know. So then that leads into what's next. If we don't do the baseline testing, then what we would have here is when they move in, are they quarantined until classes start? Are they quarantined for certain days? Are they, you know, we have not even gone down that road. I have started to arrange a meeting for next week, pulling the Wellness Protocols Committee in with the Health Committee or with the Health Center folks, myself and Cindy and Lori, for example. We need to sit down and lock down protocols. What's going to happen if we don't do this? What happens if we do this? Those are the types of things we need to have as closely defined as possible. Mm-hmm. And then again, you know, baseline testing for the NCAA, who's going to pay for that? You know, so there are an awful lot of unknowns right now, and especially when insurance companies decide that they're going to throw their rent into the mix.
Appreciate that, Freddie. Any other comments related to the
the evolving information related to testing?
There are some questions in the chat box. Will testing or not testing affect move-in dates, and that will be determined?
Yeah. Right now, what we're trying to do is not affect, because Upper Great Lakes has, and I don't know because I wasn't at the meeting with the health department, and I believe Dr. DeYoung may have been there, where they were looking at the schedule. So I know they have our dates, but then we have to figure out if it doesn't go, then what are we going to do? So Leanne, I have no answer for your question right now. Right now, we're just moving as if it's moving forward.
Okay, Grace posted a link with some return to campus sports comment or guidelines, and then Dave Mackey's talking about the mobile sites that come on campus and in communities. Can we access that? And I think, wasn't that our
plan? That was the plan. Yeah. Yeah. Upper Great Lakes would be coming to campus to do the testing. And so, yeah, so that's what we were going to access.
Okay, and Kelly posted just a reminder that we have young folks coming to campus 18 and 19 years old. Kelly, you want to say more about that?
Who?
Kelly made a
Kelly
the chat.
I just think that you need to really take into consideration these kids that are 18 and 19 years old. Many of them have not been away from home, and quarantining them for 48 hours may cause homesickness, and we will lose kids. I know if it was my daughter, she wouldn't even stay. So I just have to point that out.
Thank you, Kelly. And I think, Leanne, as far as the housing is concerned, as well as student affairs, they have been looking at what can we do to, you know, make it a little bit more palatable. We understand the age group, but we also understand COVID, kind of. Nobody really understands COVID.
Kelly, appreciate your sensitivities to that.
So one thing that my team is planning on doing is like watching movies together with the quarantined person via FaceTime or something like that. So they are planning on, and we can extend this to the whole student body, they are planning on including the quarantined individuals in all group activities via Snapchat, FaceTime, and Zoom if they want to. So that's always an option.
Yeah, and I will say we're not just going to lock them in their rooms and throw away the key and forget about them. We're planning a lot of virtual events. There's virtual escape rooms. Thomas Goodman, our esports coach, is helping me put together several different tournaments of different games. I don't understand how it all works, but, you know, because a lot of them are gamers. I'm also talking with Olivia about some online real-time trivia and different things. So as much as we can, we're going to try to keep them occupied and entertained. We're also, Lee and I are talking about putting together a welcome packet in each room that has, like, some quarantine supplies in there, like some snacks and different things. So as much as we can, we're going to try to alleviate any stress and burden that this is causing them. So thank you, Kelly.
Just Rich again. Why are we doing a 24, 48 hours when CDC recommends longer than that for quarantine?
This is the 24, 48 hours is with a COVID test because we're doing the COVID testing. So once we get a negative test, then that quarantine period would end. But I get what you're saying as well.
Okay. There's the 24, 48 hours versus 10 to 14 days, but then who's doing the testing for us? Because if we're seeing a bunch of schools going back and doing testing, what I'm seeing is that testing labs are being overrun and not able to get the tests back, and we're looking at 7 to 10 day turnaround time.
Right, and that's part of the conversation as well. And I think that's the reason why a number of schools are also going to the symptom tracking, because the turnaround time is extensive in some areas. I've seen it as little as 24 hours, even here in the local community, to as long as 7 to 10 days. They have reported 10 to 14 days as the potential. If we use the Quest lab, for example, it's going to take time. That's the national lab, and everyone's using the Quest lab. The state is no longer going to be doing baseline testing, so we can't look at that lab, which wasn't one of the recommended labs anyway, because they're being overrun by the weekly long-term care tests that are supposed to be done now. And then as far as using Michigan Tech's lab, Michigan Tech's lab can handle just, I think it's 200 a day, and if we're trying to do everybody, including the community, through the tech lab, they're going to be overrun. And at one point in time, they actually ran out of reagents, so that set them back a couple of days. So again, there are an awful lot of complicating factors in this that have to be taken into consideration. Not sure that answers your question, Rich, but it is on our radar.
And what about the percentage of asymptomatic folks? How are we, if we're dealing with symptomology and 80% are not asymptomatic, what's going on with that?
Well, you know, that begs the question on exposure, mostly, because we very easily could have asymptomatic folks walking around even now. What we have is you can be positive, you can be negative on Monday and positive on Tuesday, symptoms or no symptoms. So we could test them every single day before we find out an asymptomatic is actually positive. That's a national, basically it's actually a global question. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
It's important for us to remember that as we gather on Thursdays, we're going to be providing as much updated information as we possibly can, and realizing that the updates are always contingent, and yet we want to be as clear as we can be. So I'm thinking about your questions, Rich, and how important it is for us to be able to say at any given point, how is it that we are going to be able to meet the commitments that we have made to ourselves and to our students and their families related to a safe open, and to make sure that we continue it's daily for us to be as clear and precise about how we define those criteria. And so with each week, we need to become increasingly aware of the complexity, but at the same time, if we are doing our work together and doing it well, we will also achieve increased precision and clarity. And that's what we have to be able to do. So these conversations, I think, help us as a leadership team to make sure that we are listening well to not only all of the folks that we have to look to in terms of, external voices and guidelines and recommendations, but also to our own community, to make sure that we know what the questions are and that we are mindful of those even as we gather on Thursdays. So this is all really important and really, really helpful.
Hi, I have a quick question that's on this topic, if you don't mind. With needing a quarantine and having it be a certain time and needing students to not go insane. I'm currently under quarantine. I just came back from Georgia where, you know, there's a surge there. So I quarantined myself. I got a COVID test, but obviously I'm waiting for the results. And I'm glad we have a meeting because I'm losing my mind. So what if we just had the first 2 weeks back for campus as online? I know a lot of other institutions are doing that, and it seems like it could be a good way for students to ease in to the transition, because we might end up having to go back online anyway. So if we like actually started with, here's the first 2 weeks online, especially because the first 2 weeks are orientation to the materials and the syllabi and getting used to using the Canvas site and that sort of thing, and then we could really reduce the amount of contact that's between the students and each other and then different kinds of places, you know, that could be really helpful. So has there been thought about doing that first 2 weeks online?
Yes. not only has there been thought on that, there's been conversation on that. Mm-hmm. And the document I'm putting together that will have a lot of answers to some of those transitional questions that we all have top of mind. The first thing it says is I'd like to ask faculty to consider or to prepare for the first 2 weeks to be virtual / remote.
Oh. Okay.
Now.
I don't think we'll have any pushback. I think the faculty are going to be super into that.
There's a possibility that we may only need a week. Let's say we do contact tracing and everybody's results are back during the first week and everything's great. We could launch the second week back, you know, transition back into the classroom. But if we prepare for the first 2 weeks, that could mitigate a lot of those unknowns that we just don't have right now. And then, of course, we've got to look at all the good work that Bill and his team has done regarding classroom size and what are we going to do with overflow, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of those plans are evolving right now, and so it'd be nice to have just one document go out with all that information for faculty. But it's getting really long, so we may need to split it into two so we can at least get started working on some stuff and, more to follow.
That's actually like kind of beautiful in a way, because we were doing the first 2 weeks online and definitely the last 2 weeks, like the last week of classes and the final. So it's kind of just bookends, and like this is just a part of what it looks like that semester. So it won't seem so foreign when we go to online at the end of the semester. That sounds
right.
Really good.
It's kind of a nice orientation for the students, although they're going to be antsy. So how do we help, you know, those kinds of things. Yeah, if everybody's prepared that way, we can just mitigate any exposure risk.
Just something I'd like to have thought about, too, though, is that we'll have about 100 fall athletes coming in early to mid-August, too, so they're going to be in here even earlier than the rest of the students, so they'll be even antsier. Something to think about.
Yes, you're right at that.
I've got a question about teaching online. Is there any money that could be used for resources for doing that? I'm thinking primarily hardware, but also software, because it was sort of okay to do some stuff at the end of last semester and people just, you know, zooming on their laptop with the built-in camera. But to do things like record lectures, it makes a huge difference in quality to have webcams and microphones and the software that can sort of split the screen and have part of the screen be a presentation or something and part of the screen be you. I just wondered, is there any money that could be used to buy equipment for the faculty?
Yes. And that's part of the CARES Act funding that we received. So for the PPE that's coming, the cleaning supplies, as well as classroom technology has got to be part of that. A few of us spent some time this week taking a look at various tools out there. But I need to hear from the rest of the faculty. So, again,
So how will the rest of the faculty
because this is the first, like, I'm hearing of it, you know. I mean, there's been a lot of meetings all summer, and maybe I've missed it. But, I mean, if you're saying you need to hear from us, when do we get the trigger for us to be heard from?
Because, you know, probably later today or tomorrow the email is being crafted as far as what am I asking for. You know, so I don't want to put something out there and be so confusing. But I'm glad, Michael, that you brought that up, because this week I actually have purchased my own personal microphone to see how it would work and, you know, these types of things. So if somebody says, well, I don't know what I'd be looking for, I at least have something as far as an answer.
I think webcams are going to be a problem as well, because they basically sold out, and the decent ones are hard to come by. And there's lots of price gouging as well. I bought the webcam before the lockdown, and it cost $60, and now you can't get them, but if you could, they'd cost $200. So it might take a while.
I'd like to know which ones, yeah, and it'd be great if, part of that email then can also request information back from faculty and what you've used and that type of stuff, because I'm looking at, a webcam that's only costing like $30, and it's wide angle and a 1080, and I don't know, a friend, actually it was one of our colleagues that lent me theirs, which also didn't cost that much. So, if we can get those and that they're decent.
Yeah.
At one point we were looking at the swivel, but I can't find the swivel that attaches to a laptop. I can only find a swivel that uses a tablet. So, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but apparently it goes around, it swivels, and if you're like me walking around in a classroom, it follows you.
Just to remind everybody too, that webcam that I loaned to you, I did buy that in March when we all went online. So just like Mike's saying, I didn't purchase that recently.
Yeah. I'm looking at the one on Amazon Business right now. It's $29.99 with free shipping.
So we want to make sure, Michael, to your question, yes, we, I think the sooner that we are able to quantify those needs, and Freddie is on, making sure that we are able to, even before we know exactly how many we might need, we just are able to make those orders in anticipation. So to answer your question, yes. But as you also point out, we need to be aware that it might take some special handling to be able to find those particular items and that are most preferred. Kevin, did you have some comment you wanted to make?
Just that I haven't seen any examples of price gouging, but Michael brings up a good point that as we get closer and closer to the beginning of school, that could happen. So, they tend to be available, and we have a few around, I think, that we can use. Different. I know the FinZone office has one that we can use if necessary. It's the wide angle.
Hey, there's a chat. Would you like to comment on that from Kelly? I don't think the decision to go online the first 2 weeks has been made yet.
No, there is no decision there. That's right. It's a scenario that we need to be prepared for. That's all.
Thank you, Phil.
However, keep in mind that because of the distancing, we may have to have some where we're, as we've been discussing, Freddie, where we have a classroom and then students may be in another classroom. So we're going to have some kind of a webcam, microphone.
Right. Which is what brought the technology more to the forefront recently, is what are we going to do with the overflow? You know, if we have a classroom of 20 and we have a class of 20 and we're scheduled for a classroom of 10, what do we do with the other 10? So scenarios are being built that faculty can select what works best for their class, et cetera, those types of things. So all of that That's why that document I was referring to earlier, Patricia, is getting longer and longer and longer. So I think it's best, I think it is best for me to split that apart and just get the sequence moving instead of, you know, overload.
Thomas Goodman just volunteered to take all our woes away with webcams.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Freddie.
So, look, I just had this is a general concern about, you know, if we do have to pull the trigger and go to online at any point during this semester, I have really concerns about the educational inequality of students who are wrestling with not having laptops or the ability for the Wi-Fi. I was hoping when you had said something about maybe looking for philanthropic gifts related to that, you know, that would be something I think is kind of getting overlooked in even the national conversation, you know, once again, with those students that don't have the chops to have everything they're going to need if they're not at the Mac lab or, you know, or in a, you know, any other space.
Yeah, so you're meaning, what being on campus, you mean, Denise, and being online?
Yeah, just that idea, if, say, for instance, we do have to go first full 2 weeks online and they're in the dormitories, you know, are we just assuming they all have everything they need if they have to be quarantined to be able to have, you know, all the options and as everybody else? You know, I just remember as we did, you know, in March when we went on, there was a couple of students, you know, that were just Wi-Fi difficulties and, you know, and those kind of things. And it would just be a great to have some kind of fund to help with any kind of educational inequalities that might be magnified because of the COVID. If you can find any donor that might be interested in giving specifically to that, because to me, it seems like it's direct on the ground changing students' lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know what our inventory is currently with Chromebooks, for example, or other hardware that we purchase for students in the spring. But what I'm going to do with your suggestion, Denise, is to simply with Karen consider and ask over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and so that we have an inventory of hardware that we can make available to students when those scenarios present themselves. That's absolutely. I'm wondering if there are other pieces that people have brought to the room. I'm losing track of time. Other updates that people would like to hear about that perhaps haven't been brought to the conversation yet. Okay. Karen, it's yours to help us adjourn.
Okay, I see people signing off. So I'd like to thank everyone for this week's summer campus conversation. We all have a lot of work to do in the next week before we meet again, so I appreciate everyone's time today and hang in there, everyone.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, everybody. Reach out with any questions or comments that you have related to our conversation today or at any point.
Just a reminder, the audio of these are saved on the ERC. So you can play them back at any time.
And the ERC is the Employee
Resource Center on the HR page of our website. Log in with your email address.
Karen, some of those haven't been uploaded.
They're finished today. We got them all today.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Well, that's an important update. Thank you, Rich, for bringing that up. Some of us just choose to keep on chatting here.
All
there's,
right.
There's one that's not posted on there currently. I believe Philip had recorded it. So if you could send that over to me, I can get that. I would need that from your Zoom. If
okay.
you want to send it over, like Google Drive, and then I can get that added on there. But all the rest are posted on there.
Yeah, that was from 6:25, Philip.
Okay. Thanks, Brad.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody.